Matt LaFleur did not do the thing that so many Packer fans were hoping for on Monday. Joe Barry is still the defensive coordinator for the Green Bay Packers, and at least for now, the plan is for that not to change. In doing this, Matt LaFleur is choosing loyalty over the best thing for the Green Bay Packers, and I'm not just talking about what's going on right now with their defense. Plus, is there something wrong with the plan, the building process of this defense? We're going to dig into that today on Locked On Packers.
You are Locked On Packers, your daily Green Bay Packers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Packers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Peter Bukowski, and I cover the Packers for The Leap, a newsletter I would love for you to subscribe to. Follow me on Twitter, Peter_Bukowski. Follow the podcast on Twitter, Locked On Packers. Like us on Facebook, subscribe to the podcast, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you find podcasts, you'll find Locked On Packers, the number one Packers podcast on the internet. And the show for fans who know what happened, they want to know why and how. Thanks to everyone who makes Locked On Packers their first listen every day. We hope you like starting your day with us as much as we like starting our day with you. Today's episode brought to you by our friends at Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code LOCKEDONNFL for $20 off your first purchase. This is last minute tickets at the lowest price guaranteed. Matt LaFleur is giving Joe Barry the rest of the season. And I frame it that way because it seems at this point extremely unlikely it will be any longer than that. Although there is that chance that against Bryce Young, who's been pretty dreadful this year, Nick Mullins, who is a career journeyman backup, and Justin Fields, who has been pretty dreadful his whole career, that over the last three games, the Packers defense turns it around and you go, okay, well, now they can keep Joe Barry. At least Matt LaFleur can think that. And that is the problem right now for the Packers. Is Matt LaFleur is choosing loyalty to Joe Barry over everything else. And this has been a tradition for Matt LaFleur. Was overly loyal to Mo Drayton, even when it was obvious he was not the guy. He's on his third special teams coach since he was hired in 2019. And the special team still stinks. He's going to be on his third defensive coordinator. I know that doesn't make it seem like loyalty is his problem. In a lot of ways, hiring is his problem. But what he said on Monday was that the issues were coaching, but somehow the best thing to do is to keep the coaches. I was going to play a clip, and honestly, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what he said because the point is ultimately the same. What matters is, and he said he's going to have to spend more time ironing out the communication on this defense because communication was the big problem. Guys not getting lined up, guys not rotating coverages correctly, guys not getting the calls, guys not playing the calls, and then some of the calls patently terrible. And of course, Matt LaFleur says, oh, I'm sure Joe Barry would like to have some of his calls back. Like, playing quarters on 3rd and 4 where no one is within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage. Like, it's one thing to make a bad play call where, like, it's a conservative call on 2nd and 12 and you call a run and you go, I wish I hadn't done that. There are just, like, irredeemably bad calls all game on Sunday. And this is a pattern. And Matt LaFleur acknowledged that it was a pattern. And now he's saying he's going to have to spend more time ironing out the communication with this defense, which means he's going to have to spend less time helping his first-year starting quarterback, his receiver room made up entirely of first- and second-year players, his tight end room made up entirely of rookie players, and his offensive line that is rotating 2 left tackles and 2 right guards. And the offense has been the best thing on the team this year. That's what matters, not holding Joe Barry's hand. You shouldn't have to hold the hand of your veteran defensive coordinator who you hired, presumably over Ejiro Evero, because he was a veteran, because he'd done the freaking job before. And now you once again have to hold your hand. Two defensive coordinators in a row whose hand Matt LaFleur has had to hold. I am positive that one of the reasons why he hired Joe Barry was precisely because he knew that he could have a voice in that room. The problem, Matt LaFleur, is the better thing to do is to focus your attention on the thing you're really good at, the offense, and hire someone to coach the defense. Let them do their thing and work it out in practice. Go listen to the stories from the play callers piece that Jordan Rodrigue did, or from any of the stories between Kyle Shanahan and Robert Saleh. Those guys in practice trying to beat each other. That doesn't seem like it's happening in Green Bay. Matt LaFleur knows exactly how to attack this trash defense, this outdated philosophy. I mean, it became outdated in a hurry. There's no excuse for this. You're hurting your team by saying that this is good enough. You say, okay, coaching is not to the standard. All right, well, give someone else a chance to call some plays. You're rotating your left tackle. Pretty important position. You're rotating your left tackle and your right guard. When it's not good enough, it's not good enough. And the players don't seem thrilled about this. Quay Walker was asked about it and wouldn't refuse to go into the meeting that the coaches had with the players to go over the tape. How could the players watch? The players know these play calls are ridiculous. How can they continue to trot this disaster class out there every single week? It beggars belief. It truly does. That Matt LaFleur could be such an adept game planner, such an effective play caller, play designer, and he seems to be a genuinely good leader and teacher as a coach, and just mismanage the staff part of this. And this is not, I've made these comparisons to other industries before. This is not unique to football, where you might be good at 75% of the job, but the 25% of the job, managing people, hiring and firing people, you're just not cut out for. That's true of a lot of founders at startups. It's true of a lot of especially creative ventures, where it's just like, okay, I know how to make this amazing thing, but I don't work well with other people necessarily. And it's not that he doesn't work well. He's not managing them well. And so it would be a lot better. He's trying to do everything. We talked about this. Every Dayers will remember. We talked about this during the losing streak, the first one. When it seemed clear that in an effort to try and fix everything, Matt LaFleur was able to fix nothing. Well, now the offense is rolling. Keep it rolling. That's what matters. Helping Jordan Love is what matters. Finding ways to get Dontavian Wicks and Jaden Reed and Tucker Kraft the ball. That's what matters for this team this year. Screw the defense. It's over. It's Jover. Let it go. And this is where the personal side comes in. Joe Barry and Matt LaFleur have a relationship that is strong. They're like, they care about each other. They have a history. But this is show business, not show friends. And be very clear. The NFL is an entertainment product. This is show business, baby. And the best thing for the Green Bay Packers is for Joe Barry to move on. And look, I take no great joy in calling for someone to be fired. I don't like doing that. I wish I didn't have to do it. But handling it this way is just a mistake from Matt LaFleur. And he's hurting his team. Now the question is, the way this team is being built, the talent, I hear this a lot, is the talent really as good as we think it is? Is there a better, different way to look at this? That was the whole special teams thing. The culture, that's got to change, and they've got to acquire players differently. Is there something broken about player acquisition on this defense? We're going to dig into all of that in just a second on Locked On Packers. Today's episode brought to you by our friends at Game Time. Buying tickets to a concert or to a game should not be a hassle, but it is 95% of the time, unless you use Game Time, the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all your sports, music, comedy, and theater events. With killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, view from your seat, and their best price guaranteed, Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying tickets. See the view from your seat before you buy, so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. Buy tickets in seconds with just a couple taps, and all-in prices show you your total upfront so you know you're getting a great deal without hidden fees. The hidden fees will get you on these ticket broker apps. Game Time gives you the full price up front. So download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code LOCKEDONNFL for $20 off that first purchase. Again, create an account and redeem code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDONNFL for $20 off. Game Time, last minute tickets, the lowest price guaranteed. And thanks to everyone who makes Locked On Packers their first listen every day. Locked On has launched the first ever national sports 24/7 streaming channel on YouTube. Locked On Sports Today is here for you 24/7, covering the top sports stories of the day with the local experts of Locked On, plus our national shows covering every league. Go to Locked On Sports Today on YouTube and subscribe to the first ever national sports 24/7 streaming channel. So what about Brian Gutekunst? We know Matt LaFleur has a culpability in all of this because he's the one that hired Joe Barry when he could have hired Ejiro Evero, which I don't think he's any great shakes yet. I think he's shown some flashes. I thought he put together a really nice defense in Denver with less talent than the Packers had under Joe Barry. The Panthers this year are just a you-know-what show, and so I don't blame that on him. I would rather have Ejiro Evero right now than Joe Barry 20 times out of 10. And Joe Barry kept his job at the end of 22, despite all the same problems. Presumably because he was going to keep doing some of the stuff that he did at the end of the year, playing more squat corners, more cover two, more cover six, and then, nope, right back to the two high shell, it's quarters, it's cover three all day, for reasons unbeknownst to God or man. But so, where does the team building part come in? Well, the biggest criticism that I often see is that the Packers care too much about athleticism and not enough about guys who can just play football. I think that criticism, it misses the point, frankly. Especially in the first round, you take swings on athletes, period. And the same people that said you shouldn't draft Rashawn Gary because he's not a ready-made football player, just athletic traits, were wrong. I was one of those people. He has turned himself into a hell of a football player. Jair Alexander, an elite athlete. And when he's on the field, he is still an elite corner. Now, he hasn't been this season, but he also hasn't been on the field this season. Matt LaFleur, by the way, admitted on Monday they miscalculated with that injury. It's been worse than they thought. They would have put him on IR by now if they had known it would have been like this. Darnell Savage, that was a position of need. He was an incredibly productive player at Nebraska. I believe he was the highest graded cover player in the Big Ten. His last season at Maryland, played in the slot, played the nickel, was a heat-seeking missile. He was a really good player, a no-doubt top 40 type talent. They moved up to get him, and Mike Pettine maximized him. 2019, 2020, he looked like he was a future star. Then he's got to play all this two-shell, cover four nonsense, and he just didn't look the same. They stopped playing all the robber coverage that worked so well with Mike Pettine, and Darnell Savage was the biggest loser in all of that. But that was a little undersized. It's hard to argue with the process there, because that's what we're doing, process. Josh Jackson, same thing. That was a consensus first-round player who falls to you at 45, at 6 foot, 195 pounds, who moves like he does with ball skills like he had, Now, he had a fatal flaw, and that was that he was too grabby at the top of routes. That killed his confidence, and he was never able to find the right place for him. And he's just like out of the game now. Oren Burks actually turned into a pretty good player. The Packers just never found a way to harness him. That is part of the problem with bad coaching, is if you go back and you find the biggest misses for Ted Thompson in free agency, it's guys like Casey Hayward, who's being asked to play in a scheme that did not fit his skills. It's Micah Hyde, who's being played at a position that did not fit his skills. Someone tried to, like a bunch of people tried to tell me that Micah Hyde was actually good in Green Bay. You misremember Micah Hyde. He was a very nice role player who anytime he got the opportunity to step into a full-time safety position or the full-time nickel, looked like he was overmatched. Let's not rewrite history on this. It was weird that they basically didn't offer him any contract, but not that weird. The coach has such a big part in the deployment of those players, but they also have a big part in selecting them. The Packers went to Brian Gutekunst in the 2022 draft and said, we need an interior penetrating three technique, a pass rusher. So Brian Gutekunst went and got them one, Devontae Wyatt. That was what he was good at college. And that was all he was good at in college. And that's all he's been good at in the NFL. He's not developed in any way, shape, or form with anything else. But he got what the coaches asked him to get. Joe Barry clearly said, hey, we got this all-pro Devondre Campbell. You guys found him. That was awesome. By the way, don't forget, Russell Douglas, who they signed off a practice squad and became a stud for them, counts. Devondre Campbell, who they signed in July and went on to have an all-pro season, counts. That's your defense. That's how you build. They hit on these diamonds in the rough. But this defense, they wanted a player like Quay Walker. They wanted, or at least what they thought Quay Walker could be. I never liked that pick. I never liked the Devontae Wyatt pick. I got killed on my show, on the live stream after. I'm going, these were not, I didn't even have these as day one players. I had them both as borderline day two players, like end of round three type players. If they had taken Quay Walker in the third round, I would have gone home run. Home run. It's not what they did. But they drafted Quay Walker to play like the 49ers play. Let's have two linebackers on the field at all times. Let's be able to stop the run from nickel and be able to stop the pass from nickel too with these linebackers that can run and cover and move. That was the idea anyway. Quay Walker, the first line of my note on Quay Walker is more of an idea right now. He's still mostly theoretical. But that was very clearly to me, the coaching input. The coach is saying, these are the kinds of players we really want. With the extra first round picks, that's what they did. It would have been much better to say, take Tyler Smith with that Quay Walker pick, Christian Watson with the Devontae Wyatt pick, and then you have two second round picks to go out and get a safety, a running back, whatever you want to do, and you're in much better shape than you are right now because Devontae Wyatt and Quay Walker do not look like cornerstone pieces for your team in a draft where you needed to get cornerstone pieces. If I have a problem with the draft from Brian Gutekunst, it has been really that first round. When he has tried to draft to fill needs, they have struggled versus just trying to draft the best players. Now, of course, Jair Alexander, they needed Jair Alexander, but they also got a future first out of that whole situation. Like that was brilliant GMing. They prioritize athletes at cornerback because you need, that's a stopwatch position. You cannot play corner if you're slow, unless you are an outlier of outliers. Almost all of the really good pass rushers are size, speed freaks. Please, I'm begging you, watch Myles Garrett play. Watch TJ Watt play. Watch Nick Bosa play. Watch Micah Parsons play. Watch Trey Hendrickson play. Go check out Trey Hendrickson's testing if you don't believe me. He had like all-time change of direction. He is an incredible athlete, Miles Crosby. That's not the right name. Max Crosby. Miles Crosby. Who's Miles Crosby? Sounds like a hockey player. Rashawn Gary. Elite athletes. In the division, Aiden Hutchinson, elite athlete. Montez Sweat, elite athlete. Danielle Hunter, elite athlete. Look around the NFL. The best pass rushers are elite athletes. So you take shots there. You go, okay, they don't have enough toughness. I agree. They're not tough enough. They're not physical enough. That is a philosophy. Look at the Browns. With basically all the same players. They added Za'Darius Smith, but like they could have added a guy 80%, 75% is good. Like Preston Smith, good. And it would have been the same impact. Jim Schwartz fundamentally altered the way they played defense. They started flying around. They started hitting people. They communicate well. They attack every play. It is a mindset. It is a philosophy. It is an approach. And it's not surprising then. It's not surprising then that as you look around the league, these Fangio tree defenses are just not working. There are about a half a dozen teams right now that run some version of the Fangio. The Dolphins, the Rams, the Eagles, the Panthers, the Chargers, the Packers. That's six. The only one with an above average defense as we sit here today by DVOA is the guy, or is the team that has the actual guy, Vic Fangio, and they're 13th. The Rams, 21st. The Eagles, 22nd. The Panthers, 27th. The Chargers, who fired their defensive head coach, Brandon Staley, 28th. And the Packers are 29th. 29th in DVOA. Five of those six teams are 21st or worse. Five of the six of the worst 12 teams in the league. Half of the worst 12 defenses in the league are Fangio tree defenses. This is a philosophy problem. It is not a player acquisition problem. Period. All right, we're going to spend a little time. If they're not going to change the defense, then the offense is going to have to score some more points. And that starts right now with scoring in the red zone. We're going to talk about that in just a second here on Locked On Packers. When you're hiring for your small business, you want to have as many top-tier candidates as possible to interview. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help you find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. LinkedIn isn't just another job board. LinkedIn has a vast network of more than a billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. A Packers defensive coordinator job is going to go on there soon. Hiring is easy when you have that many quality candidates. So easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Within 24 hours. Almost 90% of small businesses. That's incredible. LinkedIn knows that small businesses are wearing so many hats and they might not have the time or the resources to hire, or at least hire efficiently. Thankfully, with LinkedIn, the process is intuitive, quick, and easy. They've even launched a feature that helps you write the job descriptions, making the process even easier. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonNFL. That's linkedin.com/lockedonNFL to post your job for free. Terms and conditions do apply. And thanks to everyone who makes Locked On Packers their first listen every day. We hope you like starting your day with us as much as we like hope starting our day with you. And Locked On has launched the first ever national sports 24/7 streaming channel on YouTube. Locked On Sports Today is here for you 24/7, covering the top sports stories of the day with the local experts of Locked On, plus our national shows covering every league. Go to Locked On Sports Today on YouTube and subscribe to the first ever national sports 24/7 streaming channel. So if the defense is going to keep being stinky, then you have to score more. Now, getting to 35 in any game is, you know, that's a tall order for any offense. But the Packers could have gotten there with a little bit more efficient red zone play. And that's the last two games. In fact, over the last two games, the Packers are 4 of 10 scoring touchdowns in the red zone. 10 red zone trips in two games is a ton. 10 red zone trips in two games. That's a lot. In the three games before that, that they won, they went 10 total times in those three games, and that's playing really good offense. They went 7 of 10 scoring touchdowns in those games. So even if you don't go 7 of 10, like if you go 7 of 10, you win at least one more of the last two games. If you go 5 of 10, you win at least one of the last two games. You probably win the Giants game. And if you are as efficient, if you had gone 4 of 5 on Sunday against the Bucs, it's a tie game. Right? So because one of them ends in a punt or a turnover on downs. So this is something that they're going to have to do without Christian Watson for the moment. We don't know when he's going to be back. And without Luke Musgrave, these are guys who have been your touchdown machine. Now, Jaden Reed has also been a touchdown machine, but Christian Watson, when he's been out there, all he's done is catch touchdowns. And his ability to use his speed in so many different ways, his size in so many different ways, that's incredibly useful. Luke Musgrave, the same thing. His ability to work in space, the size. Now, Tucker Kraft, I think, if they featured him a little bit more in the red zone, could be someone that they are able to use a little bit more. Dontavian Wicks, who was playing hurt. I mean, every third play he's coming out, he's grabbing his ankle. He's dealing with, you know, the ankle sprain that we thought might keep him out of this game. Let him get healthy. Jaden Reed was dealing with an issue as well. Let him get healthy. They've got some options in the red zone. And then you have Jordan Love. You just have to take what's there, Jordan Love. The first drive, you have a chance. Jaden Reed is there. It's open. It's the right call to go for it. You've got a good play. And Love just panics. He just rushes it. He had time to set his feet and make an accurate throw and just didn't. So you need a little bit more consistent play from Jordan Love, who we saw also can make magic. I mean, the throw to Jaden Reed for the touchdown, the one that they eventually get, unbelievable. The other part of this problem is that without Aaron Jones, it really severely hurts your run game in the red zone. Being able to run the ball, we heard Aaron Rodgers and Nathaniel Hackett and Matt LaFleur talk about this in 2020 when they were killing everyone in the red zone, when they had an all-time great red zone offense. Their ability, they believed, to run the ball effectively in the red zone set up so much for them. And what it does is it puts less pressure on your schemed up passing game. Because if you have to scheme everything up, then you have to be in the perfect down and distance. And Todd Bowles had a great counter on first down. I am blitzing your play action, your whole play action game. And the Packers didn't really have good answers. They needed to go to some more RPOs on early downs, some more quick throws on early downs, throw into that blitz rather than long developing plays where you got to protect and you've got no options. That would have helped. And I think that's something that they can do moving forward. But when you can run it in the red zone, and Aaron Jones, despite his size, is such an effective red zone runner, that I think that would be a big piece to unlocking this offense. And I said this during the game, when Aaron Jones is out there, this offense is awesome. Like when this offense is healthy, and hopefully next year they can get healthy, they can be unbelievable. They're a top 10 by EPA per play offense right now. Aaron Jones has been out the season. David Bakhtiari out the season. This is basically a lost Aaron Jones season. Christian Watson out half the games. And you're a top 10 by EPA per play offense. You're, I think, up 11th in DVOA. A really good offense with all of those things going wrong, with rookie receivers, with first-year starting quarterbacks. And they're a really good offense. Imagine how good they will be healthy with another year under their belt, with the continuity that they have. The red zone is the place where right now they can move the ball up and down the field at will. And they've done it. They've done it. Even in games they've lost, they've done it. But the red zone has been a problem because they don't have a go-to guy and because they can't run the ball. So you hope Aaron Jones can get healthy. He becomes such a weapon in the red zone. And then you hope Christian Watson can come back and give you something, because it can't all just be Matt LaFleur cooking up something or Jordan Love making something out of nothing. They got to get that piece figured out because they're going to have to win some shootouts down the stretch here. The Vikings have been able to score with a backup quarterback. The Bears, they're a high variance team. Who knows what's going on with them? The Panthers stink. But if you want to have a chance in a playoff game, You're going to have to score some points. And even just long term, the Packers are going to have to get this figured out. All right, back tomorrow. Lily Zhao for Zhao You Doin'. We've got our crossover Thursday interview Friday coming up. Packers-Panthers this weekend. It's not a very exciting matchup, but the Packers have to win. Packers have to win. Follow me on Twitter, Peter_Bukowski. Follow the podcast on Twitter, Locked On Packers. Like us on Facebook. Subscribe to the podcast, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you find podcasts, you will find Locked On Packers. And anytime you want to come hang out with us live, like we will be on YouTube after the game on Sunday, go subscribe over on our Locked On Packers YouTube page so you can stay Locked On Packers.